So I was going to just say a little about the nature of reality. I can only say a very, very little about the nature of reality. But there are questions. Now, what is going on here? We could say, what on earth is going on? And any definitions that we offer of reality are definitions, so they are in themselves limited. But we can say the enlightened mind of the Buddha is the Dharmakaya. It is absolute reality, a way of being unknowable, utterly beyond, also described as shunyata. So also seen as that dynamic interpenetration of form and emptiness, and also defined as pure mind. So this is the truth of how things are. You know, so it's here now. Absolute reality can't be anywhere else. Absolute reality must be here now. So we see the ordinary world, and we see the muddled darkness of samsara, but the enlightened mind, where the enlightened being sitting here amongst us now, would see ultimate reality and would see all of this in those terms as form and emptiness, the sofas, the fire, the carpet, the mugs, all of us. And Kula Prabhu actually opened this up yesterday as well, because she said if Vasubandhu was sitting here, he would say emptiness is here, which would be some help for us. Perhaps not get us all the way. You would say emptiness is here. So if an enlightened being was here, in tune with absolute reality, well, we could say they would chop wood and carry water. We could say they would lay the fire and bring someone a cup of tea. But they would be utterly kind. They would be utterly kind. So nirvana and samsara are so near, so close. It's like a hair's breadth apart. And a hair's breadth is too definite, too substantial a definition. And that suggests the potential, the boundless potential within experience, here and now, and the potential within the mind, our minds. And the other definition we could offer of absolute reality is that it is the absolute bodhicitta, the full, unknowable compassion of the enlightened mind. And Bhante describes all of this in such a tremendous way, actually, in the Bodhisattva Ideal. So he talks about the fact that shunyata is imbued with the essence of compassion. Compassion is inherent in shunyata. And he says it's not static, but he talks about shunyata pulsing with the spiritual life and activity which we call compassion. So compassion is there, at the heart of reality, is the heart of reality. And from that reality emerges the Sambhogakaya of the Mahayana. So what is going on? So this is the manifestation of the archetypal Buddhas and Bodhisattvas. The Tathagata can be translated as thus gone. But also, if you take it as Tatha Argata, it is also thus come. So they go, but they come. They go, but they come back. It's a very small linguistic shift, but it has a huge significance. So the archetypal Buddhas and Bodhisattvas appear as form on the edge of emptiness, vivid, shimmering, real and elusive, turning towards us with their love. And if you like, you know, compassion cannot look away. The Tathagatas cannot look away. Now, how can they turn away? How can they turn away from the suffering of this world? It's so close. It's so close. So how can they turn away from the angry mother with a screaming child in the supermarket? How can they turn away from the old man hunched in forgetfulness in the old people's home? How can they turn away from the pregnant sheep starving in the snowy field? And how can they turn away from the person who's just not made enough of their life? So they are here now. Or as Blake said, eternity is in love with the productions of time. Compassion has to manifest and express the virtues which are the awakened mind in the form that we can perceive. So Bhante, in a survey, describes the great bodhisattvas. He says, practically speaking, it's an interesting way of beginning, practically speaking, they are pure transcendental personages, bright effluences of the bright essence increate of the Absolute, eternally existing outpourings of the compassion which is wisdom and the wisdom which is compassion. And we can contemplate this, and this will have consequences.